So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom, and I'm going to do my best to get through this segment as best I can here. Just forewarn you ahead of time, if I sound funny, it's because I have a really serious infection in my gum and a couple of my molars. So I'm on antibiotics. But it's still somewhat swollen. Not as swollen as it had been, but it's enough that my tongue is still a little bit swollen, so it's a little bit on the thick side, and it's painful. So anyway, just give you a heads up on that offhand, right off the bat there. It had been hurting me for a couple of weeks, and I haven't been to the dentist in a long time because I don't get cavities. So I ignored this thing for about 2 weeks, and finally it got to the point where I just couldn't take it anymore, so I called my dad's dentist, and they couldn't see me for 2 weeks. I said, there's no way in heck I can do that. So I contacted my ex's dentist, and they fit me in the next day, which is really good. I was really pleased with them and their whole professional attitude. It was very good. It was, I guess, as pleasant an experience as going to the dentist can be. But they took a full set of x-rays, and turns out it's a big infection in there. So prior to my going to the dentist, I stopped at the drugstore to get some Orajel to put on the gum, because it was hurting so bad that I was squirting throat spray and sloshing around like every 5 minutes. So I initially went in. I couldn't remember the name of the product that I was looking for. I knew it was something like Anusol, which obviously it wasn't. That's a completely opposite end there. Different kind of pain altogether. So I asked where the Orajel was, and he sent me back. And then I found the other product, Anbisol. Very, very similar sounding name, but again, two entirely different parts of the body that it affects. So the main thing I'm going to be talking about here today is that scumbag punk down in Florida. And it's just, stuff like that is just so senseless, folks. It really is. It makes no sense. And I am a big Second Amendment guy. You all know this. But there are some people who just don't belong owning firearms. And this kid was obviously one. There were lots of students that said he'd made lots of violent threats in the past, that he obviously had some serious mental issues, yet somehow or another, before he got kicked out of school, he was able to be on the school shooting team. He was able to go in and legally buy an AR-15 rifle, and it just didn't make any sense. There were so many red flags there, particularly when he posted on, I believe it was Facebook, on somebody else's page. The guy was a bail bondsman and posted it was on YouTube. He'd put up a YouTube video. Thanks, George. And he had made some kind of a comment in the posting section about he wanted to be a professional school shooter. So the guy immediately flagged it, took a screenshot, flagged it, and YouTube took the comment down. So he sent the information to the FBI. Two agents came out the next day and interviewed the guy and never followed up on it. Now, let me tell you something, folks. After 9/11, the FBI, through the Department of Homeland Security, created the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And it's a certain group of FBI agents that work with local and state officials to make sure that there is not a lack of information like what happened leading up to 9/11. It still hurts. I can't really focus all the way. But this was created so that these agencies could work together and keep something like this from happening in the future. So I am sure that the agents who investigated this were part of the JTF, Joint Terrorism Task Force. Why they didn't follow through on this, we'll never know. I mean, some heads are going to roll over this, because when they finally contacted the bail bondsman after this had happened, they said, gee, we heard that this guy in Florida had the same name as the guy that you flagged. Wonder if it's the same person. Duh, right? Here's your sign. So, I don't know. It makes absolutely no sense, folks. It really doesn't. And of course, the first thing that the left-wingers start doing, the liberals start screaming about more gun control. There is no kind of gun control that would stop this type of violence. There are 300 million firearms in the United States of America in the hands of around 100 million, 90 to 100 million people. So most households that have guns have more than one. But that's still a gun for every man, woman, and child in this country. They will never get rid of them like they have everywhere else. It's simply not going to happen. But immediately, you've got these left-wing liberals out there screaming about gun control. We've got to do something. We've got to do something now. This can't happen again. But they don't have any answers either. You know, the ones that scream the loudest never seem to have the answers either. Some of the answers, I think, lay within the millennial culture itself. Our kids today are being brought up playing violent video games where they are actively killing people. And that conditions them to killing people. So when they get mad at someone, they think nothing, no differently about picking up a real gun and going after them than they do in the video game. I think the video games are one place to start. And of course, school. Because we're not taught right from wrong in our schools anymore. So this is the liberals' own fault, because they are the ones that are raising these kids in these environments, letting them play these games, and churning them out of school where they have zero tolerance for fighting to settle things, so it just festers and it builds up instead of having a good old-fashioned fist fight and getting it out of your system. And the garbage that they're being taught in school now about same-sex marriage, and they're not teaching values to our kids anymore. So they grow up thinking this is normal and it's right, and it's not. It's not normal. It's not right. And that's the difference with our kids today from the time when I was in school. Now, when I graduated from high school 30-something years ago, you couldn't bring guns to school then. Now, the generation before me could. Back in the 50s and the 60s, you could still bring guns to school. Now, when I went to school, you could still bring a knife as long as it was under a certain size. I used to sit in class and carve little wooden dogs. And one of my teachers was the principal's wife. No one cared. It was not a big deal. You know, the really cool kids wore handcuffs across the front of their jeans like a belt buckle. Do that now and see what happens. They take you out of there in those handcuffs. You'd be expelled from school. The zero tolerance policies about bringing an aspirin or drawing a picture of a gun, it's just absolutely ridiculous. And our kids have no way to vent their frustrations. So this is the end result. And again, I blame the liberals. The liberals want to blame us? No, it's their fault. So the result is more and more kids like Nicholas Cruz. Now, initially when that came out, they were reporting he was Hispanic. He's not. His parents were from New York, and they weren't his real parents. They were his adoptive parents. His real parents were nowhere to be found. So no one really knows who or what this guy really is. But you look at him, and he doesn't really look completely white. He actually looks like a southern Russian that has like Armenian blood or something in him. And a friend of mine, listener, Mike up in New York, sent me a couple pictures of this clown. And one of them, he's wearing a red t-shirt. It's got the hammer and sickle on it. The guy was obviously a communist sympathizer, sympathized with what's going on over in Syria. So this may still actually turn out to be an ISIS-inspired event. It may never turn out that way, but we do know that for at least a year that he had had fantasies about shooting up a school. The signs were there, my friends. The signs were there, and nobody took the time to read them. So what do we do from here on out, going forward? What do we learn from this to ensure that it doesn't happen again? Well, just like so many school shootings in the past, shootings in theaters and shopping malls, they're all gun-free zones. And I have said time and time and time again, gun-free zones become killing fields. Because the bad guys don't respect the law. They don't follow the law. They don't abide by it. A gun-free zone isn't going to stop a criminal from bringing a gun. All it's going to do is to stop people from being able to defend themselves against that person who has the gun. So the simplest thing to do, instead of hiring a bunch of armed security, is to allow teachers to carry concealed. That way, you would have dozens of people there in the situation. The shooter might get a few rounds off, but not before he was taken out. That's what we've got to look at, folks. The answer is not disarming. The answer is arming. We've seen time and time and time again, everywhere where guns are illegal, there are more crimes because criminals prefer unarmed victims. I used to have that bumper sticker on the back of my pickup truck on the back window. Criminals prefer unarmed victims. It's true. Every place where concealed carry is approved, the crime rates go down dramatically. Some states you can carry in the open. Some states you can carry concealed. Some it's one or the other. There are some states like Connecticut where it's got to be concealed. Now, until they passed concealed carry here in North Carolina some years ago, it had to be carried visibly in the open. And I still, from time to time, will see someone wearing a gun in the supermarket or riding a motorcycle. It's not common, but it's not that uncommon either. If more people start carrying, openly or concealed, the crime rates will go down. The liberals just don't understand this. They never have, and they never will. It makes sense. And anything a liberal does not make sense because they don't think rationally. They think with their heart, not with their head. And that's a very dangerous position to be in when you're in charge of passing laws. When you're in that position, that's the time to reflect, not react. And there's a huge difference. Again, we don't need more laws. We have enough laws. We need to enforce the ones that are already on the books and enforce them properly. Is there some sort of a compromise to be reached here? Well, We have to register handguns in most states. Some states you don't have to. You can just walk in off the street and buy a handgun. But in most states, especially with concealed carry, it goes through an extensive background check, which is why here in North Carolina, if you have a concealed carry permit, you don't even have to fill out a yellow form when you buy a long gun, because the background check has already been done. So if anything were to be suggested to, I'm not going to say really restrict assault-type weapons, because they're not assault weapons. Assault weapons are full auto, but assault-style weapons, quasi-military weapons like the AR-15, the SKS, the AK-47 clones, etc. What if, to buy an assault weapon, you needed a pistol permit or a concealed carry permit? That would show that you had been vetted in a much more thorough way than simply filling out a form that you could very easily lie on. Now, that's an approach that actually makes sense. So it's one that you're never going to hear coming out of a Democrat politician's mouth. And on that note, speaking of mouths, mine is really starting to hurt, so this is a convenient place to take a break, or I can go spray something on my gums. Back in a couple of minutes, folks. We'll continue the conversation then.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase, minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Georgetown Law Professor Lewis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, I'm back. Now, that was the theme from World Gone Wild, and considering what's been going on the past week, I'd say it's a very fitting bumper. We are now finding ourselves living in a world gone wild. Now, it's not a post-apocalyptic world like the movie portrayed it to be, but we are living in a world that is just plain running wild, folks. And I don't know where it's going to stop. Something's got to give at some point. And I honestly don't know what it is, what it's going to take. Is it removing the people from the equation who are deliberately allowing these things to happen? It may very well be. Because let me tell you something, folks. If it came down to a revolutionary war in this country and the conservatives prevailed, then those people who are responsible for screwing this country up over the past 200 years would be dealt with swiftly and harshly. And then we could go about bringing back the kind of culture that this country was founded upon, the principles it was founded upon, and bring this country back and, as Donald Trump has said, make America great again. But right now, we're just living on borrowed time. There's nothing that really stands out in the foreseeable future other than Donald Trump doing the best that he can to try and bring some of those American values and virtues back. So speaking of Donald Trump, regarding the ongoing Russian investigation probe, Robert Mueller last Friday announced that they had indicted 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities, I'm assuming that's corporations, for interfering in the elections. There was no mention of Donald Trump. They said no Americans were the target. And that should be the end of it. They did their best to try and put him in the middle of all this. First with the meddling and then with the obstruction of justice and all that nonsense. But it didn't work. They're not going to find anything because there's nothing there. People have had enough. And this was the only way that Mueller could end the investigation with still not having complete egg on his face and the Democrats not looking like the bunch of jackasses that they are. Now, you know, I often wonder, and if someone knows the origin of these, please let me know. Why is the Republican Party depicted by an elephant and the Democratic Party portrayed by a jackass? It's sure fitting, isn't it? Huh? Because we are the elephant in the room, and they certainly are the political jackasses, aren't they? So they may try and drag this out a little bit longer, but really, I think this whole thing is over. It's over and done with. And now, finally, the Republicans can pull their collective heads out of their butts and start supporting our president to get the agendas passed that we demanded when we elected him to be president of the United States. We have a great political system here, folks. If only our people would work together, we could get amazing things accomplished. We have a great judicial system, but again, it's not perfect. There are flaws in it, and sometimes when you get down to the letter of the law, that one letter can make all the difference in the world. I'm going to share a story with you that I came across the other day, and it's heartbreaking, it's tragic, and it deals with medical malpractice. Now, the woman in question was born in India, so she's not white, but it doesn't matter. It could have happened to anyone, and the result of this is going to make you mad as hell, folks. It really is. Do you have it, George? Can you pull it up? Okay. So the headline of this story is, "Grandmother dies after surgeons mistakenly drilled her skull. Her family won't get a penny." Well, you know, that grabbed my attention, folks. So it turns out this woman was 81 years old. She was a grandmother. Her name was Bimla Nayar, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. And apparently she had dislocated her jaw sometime back in January of 2012. So her family took her to a Dearborn, Michigan hospital. And this was just supposed to be routine surgery. But for some reason, things went terribly awry after they wheeled her into the operating room. Because at some point during their preparations, the staff at Oakwood Hospital and Medical Center mixed up her x-ray records with another patient's. And the hospital's lawyers would later concede that in court. Instead of operating on her jaw, surgeons bored into her skull in search of brain bleeding that wasn't there. She died of complications related to the surgery 2 months later. Can you imagine the agony that she must have gone through? So in 2015, a jury awarded her family a $20 million settlement. But Michigan's highest court says they can't collect a single penny. And it was all because of what they're calling an apparently bad legal gamble. It was a tactic that was used. You see, the Michigan Supreme Court faulted the family's lawyers for arguing that Nayar's death was the result of ordinary negligence. See, this is where we're getting to the letter of the law here. A claim that places no limits on the amount of money plaintiffs can be awarded. An earlier ruling on the case had effectively barred the lawyers from pursuing an ordinary negligence claim, the justices wrote. Instead, they should have argued medical malpractice, which under financial awards are capped, or under which financial awards are capped. They didn't, so the award had to be voided, according to this order. You know, that ain't right, folks. I know you've got to maintain law and order, and you can't change things because you feel badly for someone, but this was just plain wrong. Now, their attorney has pleaded with the court to restore the award, noting that the hospital had admitted negligence during the proceedings. This court would have to suspend all concepts of fair play and truth to ignore the gross injustice that has occurred here, their attorney said. For God's sake, do something about it. But they're not. They're standing by their decision, which means that this poor family will not get a single penny because of a blunder on their attorney's part, number one, for wording this incorrectly, because apparently when they changed the way that they were going to plead this during the whole thing that played out in court, they used language that referred to it as the other type of negligence. Stuff I don't understand because I'm not an attorney, but apparently it made a huge difference. So now, not only does the family not get anything, the hospital is not on the hook for having to pay anything out either for their stupid mistake. They drilled 5 holes in her skull, folks, and then connected the dots with a saw and took like half of her skull out, looking for bleeding on the brain that wasn't there because it was the wrong patient. This kind of malpractice just infuriates me to no end, especially in today's world, a world with computers where there are so many checks and balances. Well, speaking of checks and balances, I just checked my balance of time and it has run out. So, as always, my friends, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Till next week, it's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings, out for now.